settle down and simmer down. We're going to get started here in a couple seconds right about now. Our next presenter, John Burbidge. He's a professor emeritus from Elon University, former dean of the business school there, where he taught a course there, business and baseball and statistics. He's a lifelong New York baseball Giants fan. He's aware they moved to some other town, yes. But and without further ado, take it away. Here we go, John.
Thank you. Thank you. The impetus for this presentation came a few years ago while I was teaching my baseball and statistics class at Elon. In the course of 2 weeks, we had two speakers, Jack McKean, Trader Jack, old school, by the way, an Elon graduate, lives about a mile from the campus, and a couple of weeks later, Dave Cameron from Fangraphs, an analytics guy, and when a student asked them what did they think was going to change in baseball in the next 20 to 30 years, they both agreed. It was about the only thing they agreed on all night during their presentation. But they both said starting pitchers will be pitching 5 innings in 20 or 30 years. So I started thinking, you know, I was just like most of you. I ridiculed this statistic called quality start. But after hearing that, I said, you know, there's probably something to this thing called quality start if we're going to have starting pitchers pitch 5 or 6 innings in 20 or 30 years. So I got interested in statistic, and that ends up, and that's why I'm presenting this today. Okay, who started quality start? John Lowe, writing for the Philadelphia Inquirer in 1985, said that a quality start is when a pitcher gives up 3 or less earned runs in 6 or more innings. And what Lowe was trying to convince his readers of was that this kept his team in the game. This kept the pitcher's team in the game. If a pitcher could give up less than 3 runs or 3 or less runs in 6 or more innings, team was in the game over in the later innings. Even if the team was behind 3-0, what Lowe was trying to point out was a couple of big hits in the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning could actually take that deficit and give the team a win. Lowe also said something very interesting in 1985. A starter's job is not to throw a complete game or get a win. It's to give his team a decent chance to win. And he said that this is true in this bullpen era. That was 1985. Okay, the criticisms of quality start. When a pitcher gives up 3 earned runs in 6 innings, the ERA is 4.5. Not very good, except in Colorado. The goal of a pitcher, and this is, we just heard about pitchers in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. The goal of a pitcher in those days was certainly to pitch a complete game and going deeper than 6 innings. And then wins and losses has always been a very important parameter of a pitcher's success. And until very recently, when some of the newest statistics have influenced Cy Young Awards, it's been a major consideration in choosing who wins the Cy Young Award. That great source of baseball information, Wikipedia, on their site on quality starts, points out a couple of pitchers who gave up much more than 3 runs, but only 3 earned runs, and got credit for a quality start, and they were very critical of that. Now, I talked to a fellow who works for the Orioles, and he said that an individual in the Orioles front office once told him that Sandy Koufax said a quality start was 9 shutout innings. And I think that kind of sums up what old-time pitchers did indeed think. We heard this morning Steve Trout ridicule the concept of a quality start, didn't we? In defense of quality starts, Rob Nya, in a ESPN Insider column, showed that a pitcher who had a quality start, their team won 67% of the time. And that was Lowe's intent, pitcher putting his team in contention in the later innings, or indeed winning the game. In the same article, NIA showed that the ERA of quality starts in 1985 was 1.88, and non-quality starts 7.37, and in 2005, the respective numbers were 2.04 and 7.7. So the ERA criticism about 4.5, that's kind of the outlier for a quality start, is really not valid. NIA showed that ERA for quality starts is indeed very, very favorable. Now, today's world, if 1985 was considered the bullpen era, today is the souped-up bullpen era, isn't it? Again, there have been several articles, including, I think, Dave Cameron has a couple in Fangraphs, that show that pitchers lose effectiveness after two times through the batting order, that the batters are getting used to those pitches, that pitcher, and really that managers should really think seriously about changing pitches after two times through the batting order. If indeed quality starts is a good measure, we should see quality pitches having quality starts. And I've kind of run off the top four in 2014. Johnny Cueto with 29, Lester with 27, King Felix with 27, and my favorite pitcher, Madison Bumgarner, with 27. By the way, Kershaw, remember he was on a disabled list for the beginning of 2014. I think he's the leading pitcher in quality starts today, current in baseball. One of the things that's also emerged is the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning specialists. Now, us Giant fans remember the 2010 pennant race. We won that on the last day, and we beat out San Diego. San Diego killed us that year because every time they had a lead in the 6th inning, we would see Gregerson, Adams, and Bell for those last 3 innings, and we would never get a run off those 3 guys. Now, last year, Herrera, Davis, and Holland for Kansas City kind of lit up the baseball world with their dominance in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. San Diego in 2010, Kansas City in 2014, all they really needed was pitchers to go 6 innings and let their relief pitchers take over. Let's now look at some of the numbers. I found this quite interesting. And I'm starting now with 1985, when Lowe wrote his article about quality starts. Complete game percentage, 13.7 in 1985, and then 2.3 in today's or last year. Now, I found very interesting one of the comments in that session, I think Steve Trout made it. Was it 94 of the starts by Oakland A's pitchers that year ended up in complete starts? So that would be over 50%. Now, if that was representative of the rest of the league, we probably saw a pretty significant drop between 1980 and 1985. By the way, you can see that the number percent of quality starts in 1985 and 2014 hasn't changed very much, but it dropped in these middle years, and of course that was the offensive era in baseball. Some people call it the steroid era, okay? One of the things I found very interesting is that the innings pitched by a starting pitcher didn't really change that drastically from 1985 to 2014. But what changed significantly is the number of pitches per game. It went from 2.83 in 1985 to 3.98 in 2014. And if you looked at the years between 2010 and 2014, it's actually greater than 4. I think that's true for the National League. And the American League is fairly similar. Although you can see the impact of the DH and also that steroids era in that 1995 and 2000 numbers. But again, the number of innings pitched per game started changed much, and the pitches per game is about the same as the National League. And I found that surprising given the fact that you have the DH in the American League. Okay, what is surprising about these numbers? The difference is in the stats between the American League and National League are there, but they're not as significant as I had thought when I started this. You know, it's always something. I started talking about doing this research on quality starts, and all of a sudden some of this thing about starting pitchers really kind of started impacting me over the last 40 years. The increase in pitches per game, even in AL, the American League, highlights the issues with the current major league rosters. And the number of players on a roster hasn't changed since 1985, 25. Although, on days of a doubleheader, a team can bring up a minor league pitcher or put him on the major league roster, but they have to go back down as soon as that game ends. So what we have is a lot less position players as reserves on a team since they have to go to 12 or 13 pitchers on a team. I think the Cubs have only got four position players as reserves because they have 12 or 13 pitchers. I know the Giants are in the same way. What that kind of illustrates is the significance of having a player who can play multiple positions. Chris Coughlin for the Cubs. He's all over the place because they got double switches and switch him with this player and again, a couple of players with the Giants. Now, that's an issue. The owners obviously don't want to add another $500,000 to the payroll, and I'm sure the union would love to see a few more players on the Major League roster. Will that possibly be addressed at the bargaining table? I've been listening to the Sirius XM baseball prognosticators, and Jim Bowden has been endorsing a 28-player Major League roster with pitchers and then increasing the number of position players. So, what are my conclusions about quality starts after all of this? I have now become a believer that quality start, even though, you know, I loved baseball back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and the idea of complete games, today's game, quality start, really makes a lot more sense. And a six-inning quality start, or six innings for a quality start, also makes, seems like the right length of time, although some have proposed increasing that. A maximum of 3 earned runs per quality start also seems to be the right number. It's the outlier. And as kind of Rob Nyer showed, most quality starts, they're giving up a lot less than 3 earned runs. Well, the percent of quality starts has not changed significantly since 85. The number of complete games and pitches per game has changed significantly. So I think we've got to start honoring these pitchers for being effective in something less than a complete game. I think quality start is a much more significant measure of a starting pitcher's performance than a win. Today, given the fact that they rely a lot more on the bullpen, and sometimes a win is dependent on what happens with the hitters, quality start makes a lot more sense to me. I think we should go to quality starts, non-quality starts, to reflect how effective a starting pitcher is. So my conclusion is let's use a quality start measure as a measure of aggregate starting pitching performance. If that's the case, Zach Greinke would be 14-1 this year, not 5-2. Thank you very much. Questions?
Yeah, I looked at quality starts a few years ago, and the numbers I found were in the ballpark of Nyer's numbers. But I also looked at what I call quality plus starts, using 2 runs per game, and the winning percentage was not that much higher.
Okay, so you're basically endorsing maybe reducing the 3-2?
Well, I'm not saying you have to reduce the 3-2. I'm just saying that the quality start as is works pretty well.
Right. Yes, I would agree with that.
I take exception to your stats in the 90s. You had 2 expansions. Don't blame it all on steroids. Your dilution of talent for pitching, incredible, was incredibly diluted, those 2 expansions.
Okay, so you're basically saying that what I really showed is the impact of expansion.
You added 100 players that didn't belong. You had 4 teams added in the 90s. Steroids had very little to do with it.
Okay, so. Fair.
Over here?
Over here.
Since the quality start, the point of a quality start is to give the team a good chance to win the game.
Right.
I think that earned runs and unearned runs should really have nothing to do with it, because earned runs and unearned runs has to do, that's an individual pitcher stat. So it should be three runs, period. I mean, the point is the pitcher, if there's an error made, the pitcher needs to pick up his teammate, make sure to limit that damage. If you only allow three earned runs or less, but you actually end up allowing eight runs, you're not, your team is probably not going to win.
So you're basically arguing that three runs rather than three earned runs.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
And that's been one of the critics have showed that a pitcher really should be penalized if they let up further runs in an inning after an error. And I think that's what you're arguing, right?
Right, right.
And that's what, as I said in that Wikipedia article, a couple of people pointed out, that you've had some horrendous starts, but they got credit for a quality start. Yeah.
A quality start should be two runs, not three. Here's why. As of this morning, the National League average ERA, wait a minute, the National League ERA was 3.84, and the American League was 3.88. Now, at three runs for six innings, that comes out to 4.5 runs ERA. There's no reason why a quality start should be less than league average.
Yeah, I your point is valid, but if you go to two or less, now we're down to a 3.0 earned run. If we could somehow figure out something between two and three runs per six innings, then that would kind of make a little bit more sense than three as an outlier. But remember now, three is really only an outlier. Okay? Question.
Yeah. Do you have figures on how the number of pitches per game thrown by the pitchers has increased over the years?
No, I haven't. I this is one of the points that I was driving at when I said that when you start looking at the numbers, you start asking yourself some more questions, and that exactly was one of the questions I was asking. Is now we could kind of also look at pitches per game.
And we kind of assume that there has been a pretty significant increase, though, don't we, in the number of pitches per game in the last 40 years?
Probably so. I would agree that there's probably been an increase, okay? Your pitches batters are taking more pitches, and so I would think so.
And that kind of impacts the quality start thing, I think, yeah.
But, again, now with... I saw a couple of games Bumgarner pitched over the last month, and he approached 100 pitches in about six and a half innings. So you're seeing that pitches are being pulled before they get into the eighth inning today, even after having a masterful start. So again, I would argue that quality start might be a better reflector than a win, because he had that great start against King Felix, and he actually lost that game, and then against San Diego the other night, he had another great start, and he didn't get, that was a no decision. Question?
This might be a little complicated.
Oh, okay. I'm not good at going back and forth here.
Go ahead.
Let's go this.
My turn?
Yeah.
Okay. Your presentation was of interest to me because the only presentation I've actually given at Sabre was on the topic of quality starts, and it was back in the late 80s. And there weren't as many, there were more complete games, rather. There weren't as many relievers. The number of innings pitched was higher, et cetera. And I did it with a fellow Sabre member and fellow resident of Corvallis, Oregon, Paul Andreessen. And we were very suspect that it was very good indicator of whether the team went on to win or lose. So we did a regression analysis on it, and the R-squared on it was very, very low, like 10% or so. And I thought that, well, maybe when the steroid era came along and they were scoring more runs, that perhaps the idea of the quality start and the earned run average could be a little higher and the team could still win. But I never thought of approaching it from your standpoint and didn't even think about how much the way they handle pitching has changed since.
Right. Thank you. Yeah.
As I said, this might be a little bit complicated, but it occurs to me that if you want to make this essentially a measure of whether the starting pitcher contributes to the probability of the team winning, you might even want to get away from the exact number of runs and simply ask the question, does the starting pitcher go six innings, that's reasonable, and leave the team in the lead with whatever number of runs that might be?
Well, they probably, if they go at least six innings, they probably have been fairly effective during that six innings.
I question whether that's true in games where a lot of runs have been scored by your team early.
Okay. Now, just to sum up, again, my argument is there are other measures of pitching performance, ERA, WHIP, et cetera. And in fact, let's talk about game score, which is the Bill James on an individual pitching performance. But as an aggregate pitching performance, we still use wins and losses. And what I'm saying is complete games and, quality starts and non-quality starts might be a better to measure than wins and losses.
It seems that quality starts can camouflage lots of different performances. That you go six innings and allow three, that's a quality start. You go eight innings and you allow zero. So something I've been thinking of is, what about taking the number of innings pitched minus the number of earned runs? So like a Koufax one that you mentioned would be a nine, nine minus zero. And if somebody pitched six innings allowing three, that would be a three, and a nine would be better than a three. So,
yeah. Yeah, there is a measure called a super quality start or high-level quality start and a tough luck quality start. But this could lead to a better measure than wins and losses question.
I'm wondering how far this business of bullpen is going to end. You mentioned some clubs win because they have a good bullpen. But now I see bullpens like St. Louis, they have for one batter, one pitcher, and they take him out.
He gets a win.
No, yeah, it is. Mine. Yeah. But they have for lefties, come in a pitcher, throw to that batter, out. Now, is that going to end having to increase the number of players in the roster? That's what I think is going to happen.
Good point. Okay. All right, thank you. Thank you very much.